Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. And what's going on? I thought we had a little sun this morning, and now it's gone. The prediction sun for most of the day, where is it? Things are very different. Well, so be it. And I don't know if you're aware of this because you probably don't go to the ocean as often as I do, but the whole coastline remodeled this last winter with all the rain we had. And I went, 5 to 6 days a week for the last 7 or 8 years. And I barely want to get in there anymore because of the rocks. The whole coastline is rocked out at this point. And they say it's going to remodel, but I don't know. It's not happening too quickly. Today's show, how endorphins control the transmission of light between the cells. Now, we've bought into the genetic model. That's the up-and-coming paradigm that's supposed to shift all the way we receive therapy, as it especially relates to chronic disease. Acute traumatic injury, we're going at it with better and better precision and new tools. But the theory behind it hasn't changed. What's really changed is how we approach chronic disease, because we can map the genes. And, you know, this is a miracle in itself, no doubt. But the bottom line is, for the most part, it's still not going anywhere. Now, that's what the NIH, the National Institute of Health, that which confers grants to young scientists that want to change the world, hasn't really figured out yet. And that's a big issue, because the world's accelerating a lot faster than our medical model's accelerating. What do I mean? Well, it's great now that we can talk about cancer and genetics and Alzheimer's and genetics and what we're going to do by genetic modification to either slow down or eliminate your disease. But what we're not getting is the world is changing much, much, much faster than our understanding of genetics. So are the microbes changing much faster than our understanding of genetics. And what it's all clamoring for that we're not getting, and this is the point, and that is that the model that should supersede genetics is biophysics. Now, we can nod our head to that, and lots of people in biophysics do, and lots of people in physics are quick to point out that it tops anything we can get done or any of our insights in genetics, molecular biology, biochemistry, so on and so forth. But you see, this isn't going to translate itself into the standard of care, meaning it's not going to mean you any difference to you online at Kaiser Permanente when you've got a heart condition or an autoimmune disease or a brain tumor. And this is what I mean by we're way behind on this. And I assure you, as many a foreseer has claimed in the past, that the change is going to have to come from the public, because it isn't going to come from the hallmark of science. Now, that's a big statement, and it is an assault on the scientific community itself. And it's an assault that a lot of my fellow scientists, doctors, etc., would support. And if you study the history of medicine, it's almost always been that way. Some scientist or doctor or whatever starts to talk a way that's different than the club, and the first people to boot him out of the club and of the public forum are his own colleagues. And that goes on to the institutions, and that goes on then even to the legal system sometimes. And so most of the time, these renegades are left in the middle of nowhere. Let me give you the name of one such renegade. Her name was Candace Pert. Candace Pert wrote a book that you should all understand the basis of, even if you don't understand the book. Understand her point. And I'll just cut to the chase and tell you in a moment. But Candace Pert actually discovered. Her research, okay, was dominant to the discovery of opiate receptors in the brain. Now, maybe today, for those of you who are science devotees, that the brain has effectively heroin receptors or opiate receptors, bliss receptors. And to isolate that in the brain back in 1972, 50-something years ago, when she did it, was big news back then. And she worked under the tutelage of her mentor, Solomon Schneider, who was a decent guy, but he was a scam artist too. He was a scientist that had given up science or sacrificed science for the politics of things. And that's understandable. But bottom line is, Solomon Schneider and his club ripped off his student. She didn't get the credit she deserved. And of course, if you go on to read the book, Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert, Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert, you'll get this story straight from her. Now, what she delivered to the world and what how endorphins control the transmission of light between the cells is in part a modification I've made. She didn't exactly make it that way. But she understood what the endorphin was. And she understood that the production of the endorphin is central to healing. Now, she was not a clinician, meaning she didn't hang a shingle outside her office and say, come on in, I'll help you. She was a scientist, but because her fellow scientists kind of booted her, didn't really give her credit, she went on the road and she started reaching the public, in part through the book and lots of other books. In the end, she died suddenly, unexpectedly, of a heart attack. She was obese. She was morbidly obese by then. She walked around in a maternity dress half the time, and she just croaked to heart disease out of nowhere, and at the same time being the health icon that she was. I don't think she cared at that point. I think she knew she made her contribution. But that's what happens when you come down and you roll out insights that lots of people can't get. You end up teaching massage therapists instead of your colleagues. No offense to massage therapists. Now, what was she talking about? Well, I'll tell you what it means clinically that she was talking about. And again, today's show, how endorphins control the transmission of light between the cells. I'll tell you what she's talking about. A few months ago, I was working with an individual who was in his 80s, and he was neurodegenerating rapidly for a variety of reasons. And he couldn't lift his arm. And he couldn't lift his arm for unrelated reasons. It wasn't anything to do with his neurodegeneration. In other words, brain disease that prevented him from lifting his arm. But he hadn't been able to lift his arm without considerable pain for 4 years. And after a little bit of time, he could easily lift his arm. And I filmed it. I put it on video. And I showed him one day, when he needed to be reminded, that, look, you could just lift your arm. It's easy to lift your arm now. That's big, I said. And it feels good. I know it feels good. Look at the video I took of you lifting your arm. And I said to him, that's a sign. And I said, that's going to eventually steamroll into other things. These flickers are eventually going to start to seed your brain with new neurons. It's going to bring you out of your illness. It will. And he looked at me like I was talking a foreign language. And what he was saying, literally and through his posturing, is, what does lifting my arm have to do with brain disease? And this is the point. This is where, despite the fact that you might nod your head, yes, of course, endorphins control the transmission of light between the cells. Endorphins are an important facet of healing. This is where you expose your ignorance or your only superficial understanding of very deep statements. Pert, Candace, in the book, without saying it, said it, and if she didn't, I will. The road to health, the road out of chronic relentless symptomology, the road out of disease, the road to radiant health. All of it's the same track in the sense that what you've got to do is make sure that you design a practice for yourself, a health regimen that increasingly produces endorphin in response to your specific health task. Endorphin in response to your specific health task. What does that mean? You do a coffee enema, you get bile, you better get stoned. You go into the park, bend over and touch your toes, stretch your quads, stretch your calf, stretch your neck, stretch your jaw, so on and so forth. It's only until you experience dramatic, unprecedented, skyrocket high levels of endorphin, of bliss, of pleasure in the process, the stretch process, the enema process, the fast process, the sleep process, the lowering of the blood sugar, the evolution of the ketogenic state, every single process of health, until it produces the endorphin response in your perception of it, not your doctors, not your friends, not your families, in your perception of it, you ain't going nowhere in your healing. You will die if you're going to die. You will stay and live in pain if you're going to end up that way. And you will not advance. That's what her book meant. Well, I'm going to tape the show, and I'll probably do another half to the show. I'm converting to a different forum pretty soon, and all of it's going to be on video, so you can view it, which is going to be better for you and worse for you, because I'll bellow out a tune with even a higher intensity. So you want to hear this show again. You want to go out and get that book, and you want to start to understand that unless you're having bliss through the healing, even of terminal disease, even when your brain's dying, even when you may die, even when you have a tumor that's growing too fast, even when you have a metastasis, even when you have whatever you have that causes you pain, if you haven't evolved it to the bliss state, you're going to lose. Now, that's a big statement. It really is. And I don't care, because it's the truth. And this show has always been about the truth. So I'm just telling you the truth. You can believe the BS out there, all these quick gimmicky promises, all these poster cases that we market out with all our marketing geniuses that we pay lots of money to make it seem like it's 1, 2, 3, Shazam. You can take all that and understand if there's one buoy, if there's one life preserver, if there's one way to keep yourself afloat in a healing enterprise, you've got a problem, you want to get rid of it. Just understand that your body is sending you flickers, little, subtle, discernible, palpable examples that you're improving. You're sleeping a little better, but your brain tumor is growing. You're feeling a little happier, but your brain tumor is growing. You're defecating twice a day instead of once every 2 days, but your brain tumor is growing. Your blood sugar is regulating. The numbers are coming down, but your brain tumor is growing. You can stretch a little further, but your brain tumor is growing. It's easier to swallow those gulps of olive oil to flush your liver and get your bile flowing, but your brain tumor is growing. The orthodontist has made adjustments to your bite, and you're feeling a little more ease, or you're feeling a better, more palpable, gratifying occlusion, meaning your teeth are touching for the first time, but your brain tumor is growing. You see, in reality, in the trenches, that's what happens. Your body, if you're committed to it, is giving you signs and experiences all the time that should be ringing the endorphin bell, but you're focused on your disease, on your brain tumor, on the fact that it still hurts. This is so common that even in stuff as simple as musculoskeletal, my back hurts, my shoulder hurts, my knee hurts. This is so common that even when people with musculoskeletal complaint have a couple of hours of pain-free existence after 20 years of nothing but pain, you know what they say? You know what they say the next day? Well, it doesn't really matter because, you know, the pain came right back after 2 hours, so I guess the stretch didn't work. Did you hear that? Don't laugh, because that could be you. People do this all the time. The body's begging them, obliging them, beseeching them, asking them, beckoning, screaming at them, waving at them to understand that if for the first night in 5 to 10 years you slept straight, it doesn't matter, your brain tumor's growing. And oh, that's easy for me to say, I don't have a brain tumor. No, it's not. I don't have a brain tumor, and it's very easy for me to say. It should be. I've been around long enough to tell you, people heal when they know they're going to heal, when they're ready to heal. When their attitude embraces the healing, do people heal? And that's not enough people. And the reason is we've sold them a bill of goods. We've deceived them in the way that we market out our products. Because you can't sell a book, you can't sell a supplement, you can't sell a therapy, you can't sell the public unless you tell them it's worth buying. And the only thing that makes people buy is the prospect that one quick transaction is going to mean job done. Now, we do this all over the world every day in better and better ways. And I got to tell you, the fact that we have YouTube hasn't gotten us any closer to reality. It's even more deceptive because now you're innocent and ignorant enough to think that you can do your own research and just accumulate data on YouTube and spit out the solution. Now, that's way ahead of itself, that statement. But trust me. Remember, I'm the guy, if you check out my website back in March of 2020, that set you straight on COVID. March, April, May, and June of 2020. There isn't one thing I said that wasn't true in hindsight about COVID. Nothing. You have a good reason. I've given you ample reason to trust most of the things that I say. And I'm saying this to you right now. If you can't celebrate a better night's sleep when you have a growing brain tumor, you're not going to heal. And you're being deceived every time you turn around by the holistic public, by the allopathic public. Because to sell, they have to convince you that it's a one-shot deal. That whatever you do will return it to you quickly. And in the meantime, while you're looking at that reduction in the diameter of a brain tumor, your body's clamoring for you to take a look at what's getting better. That has nothing to do, in your mind, with your brain tumor. So you don't see it, and that is why you fail. Because you see, here's the thing. When you start celebrating, and I don't mean celebrate in the full sense. I don't mean wish someone a happy birthday. I don't mean an act. I mean an embodiment. I mean a sensitization within yourself so that you can ultimately feel the pleasure in the better night's sleep. You see, you got to understand what I'm really talking about when I say to you, celebrate the flicker. What it means is when you can feel the pleasure of a better night's sleep against the fact that your brain tumor is getting bigger. When you can start feeling that an extra defecation of a day gives you pleasure, that's when you're on the road, because that's the only time you can trust the endorphins are being produced. The experience of the endorphin is a feeling in the body, not in the head. Experiencing an endorphin rush is a bodily function that includes your head, but it's not just the head, and there's lots of people that get tripped up there too. In a sense, well, I won't say it. But it's easy for people's head to deceive their bodies. We do it all the time. Don't. Don't. Take the flicker, the little benefit, and be aware of it. And get out of your stubborn head, your Park Avenue media commercialized infected brain. Get out of it. That you have to keep staring at your symptom or your tumor, because of course that's why you put the time, money, and energy into the therapy. Forget that. Search yourself for where the benefit is in the process and magnify that in your experience. Respect it more deeply. Celebrate it more deeply. And you'll understand what I mean by endorphin. Because what those endorphins do is they characterize, they demonstrate the fact that whatever you're doing, the space between the cells is transmitting more light. Yes, there's a big leap and no leap, really, between the experience of an endorphin rush. When Saul became Paul, when Lazarus rose from the dead, when Jesus ascended, when any of these massive, inexplicable transpersonal experiences occur, don't you think there's a nuclear explosion of endorphin? And if you're looking at the human body, Lazarus was human. If you're looking at the human body experiencing that type of transaction, it usually involves a change in their physiology. Yes, it's okay to think that way. And rest assured, that change in physiology is a cellular change. That means the DNA of the cell through the genes has to transport the cell, elevate the cell to a finer execution of chemistry. And the only way that's really going to occur at that level is if the space between the cells is imbued with light. And the only way you're going to know you're on your way is when the process is producing the endorphin. You guys have a great week. Listen to this show again. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Ciao.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.